now 27.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Prairie Sun Bank is your community bank, helping you turn your dreams into reality, offering four locations to serve you better. Prairie Sun Bank will be your partner when you buy a car, a home, or make farm operating decisions. We are here for you with trusted advice and quality service that you can count on, making banking easier with the latest in technology while still providing that small-town personal service that you have come to expect. Bank with Prairie Sun Bank, located in Appleton, Milan, Marietta, and Browns Valley. Shop the Canby Meat Center this week. Pick up some USDA Choice Boneless Beef New York Strip Steaks. Perfect for the grill, $15.99 a pound. Boneless Beef Arm Steak, $6.99 a pound. Boneless Beef Arm Roast, $6.49 a pound. Or some pork chops. Bone-in center-cut pork chops and bone-in thick-cut pork chops, just $1.99 a pound at the Canby Meat Center. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30, Saturday, 8 till noon. The Genio Turkey Store Feed Mill in Dawson is proud to be a local consumer of locally produced corn and soy meal. You can call Dan Struxness at 320-769-4851 for information on feed. And Genio Turkey Store Feed Mill is happy to support local high school sports here on Q92. And good luck to all area teams and athletes. Genio Turkey Store Feed Mill in Dawson.
The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparral Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. With Maynard Meyer at the control panel.
Yes, I'm here.
There you go.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and getting ready for celebrating North Fest.
That's right.
And I got bad news, Dick. You did not win the raffle drawing last night, but I didn't either. So.
Okay. How about Jerry Morris?
Jason Young is $2,000, Richard.
Oh, good for him.
And Pat Brown is $1,000, Richard.
Okay.
Amber Boyens is $500, Richard.
Oh, my goodness.
There are some others in there, too. I can't remember them all off the top of my head.
But. Yeah.
One of them wasn't you, and it wasn't me. Oh, well. Story of our lives.
We'll try again next year, I guess. But it's all for a good cause.
That's right.
So, all right. Go through a few scores from yesterday. First off, in state volleyball, the team that represents our area was Russell Tyler Ruthen. They defeated Nevis three sets to none. And in the semifinals, won 3-1 over Ada Bora West. And they will face Watertown Mayor today at 2:30. Used to be at the Xcel Energy Center. They changed the name to the Grand Casino Arena right now. So 2:30 this afternoon. You know, they defeated Mineota, and I know Watertown Mayor has defeated Mineota, too, so they're in the state tournament just about every year as well. It should be a good match. And then in Class A football, the quarterfinals, Breckenridge defeated Barnum 57-14. Manoman Wauman defeated Upsala Swanville 17-8. Fillmore Central lost to Murray County Central 29-26. And the game that you heard live here on Q92 with the superintendent from Mineota did a great job of broadcasting, 42-6 over Lester Prairie. They cross bracket now. Mineota will be playing Manoman Wauman. Both teams are undefeated. They'll play next Saturday at November 15th at 9 o'clock in the morning at U.S. Bank. Everything's at U.S. Bank now. And on the other side, Breckenridge will be playing Murray County Central sometime that day as well. Championship will be Friday, November 21st at 10 a.m. at U.S. Bank between the winner of the Mineola Wabanoman and Maury County Central Breckenridge. Well, that brings us up to date on what's going on around here. Of course, last week, John Cherb was with the Lacoparo Valley girls team down at the state tournament. The last year will be held at Les Bolstead University of Minnesota Golf Course. And it's kind of a nice course, but it's hard to get to and find a parking space. So I don't know what will happen next year, but they'll have the state cross-country meet the same Saturday next year. But you were down there with their team, and they did a good job, John.
Yeah, they did. You know, I'm always concerned about letdown because, you know, we really, really had a good section meet, had a great finish of the race, and got a chance to go there. So you just you see some teams or some kids have a little letdown just because now it's just, hey, it's a state tournament, you know, it's your last race no matter what, you know, and that thing. And that was my one concern. But these girls are really, you know, have gelled the last pretty much month. We really started putting things together, and that's what you like to see. And so I really didn't see it and was really happy with the kids. I mean, the kids had a good week of preparation. You know, we had to change a few things around so to try to handle the course, handle our hill workouts and things like that, and do what we can down there. And, you know, going in, we knew, you know, we are not going to be a top 12, top 10 team, but our goal was 12th. If we could finish 12, I'd been very, very tickled. We didn't get that. But, again, you got to have a little bit of a goal. You can't shoot for the moon. You get some people go, oh, we got a shot to state title. No, you don't. I mean, that's just the way some people have to motivate themselves. We don't. I mean, you got to be realistic, and realistic was a goal, top 12. If we could do that, that would, we thought would be an exceptional state tournament for us. And that's what you expect. So kids, you know, we had a good week. They preparation, mental part, jogging the course, you know, because Brandon and Chloe are the only ones that have seen the course and actually ran the course. So the other ones, you know, understanding, I explained to them, I said, it's a rolling course, and you've got to survive the first to get to the second, because that second one, with the double loop you do, with the hill you got to climb twice, it's going to be interesting how you handle that. And, you know, Nikki Swenson, you know, who our parody is her married name now, but, you know, she's coaching Nick Alec, and we talked a little bit about that, and she goes, that back hill is not a joke. You've got to be prepared yourself and have that. If you go into that empty gas tank, it's going to be painful. And I thought our kids really gave themselves a chance to compete. We maybe got a little hot out early in the race because when you're having 16 teams line up, 160 kids lined across the board, and you got to narrow it down, it turns into a wall in that adrenaline rush. And we got a little hotter out than normal but not over the extreme. Which the good thing is, you know, like talk with Bryn at the section meet, she got out way too hot and she paid for it. This one, she was still out decent, but not to the point where she paid for it. She still was in the hunt and still was very competitive coming down the straightaway, and that's what you got to have with it. So I did not get a chance to look at the miles, but see how fast we were at the mile and 2 mile mark. But again, reading it when I caught them in my spots on the course, you could tell we were out a little hot, but again, competitive hot, and that's what you got to have. You know, like I said, we finished very well. Bryn was our top runner. She finished 54th at 2012, which is actually her season fastest. So that's, you can't complain about that. Not her personal best, but it's not far off. And, you know, that's what you can ask. Chloe Glegg was 96 to 2059, off a little bit. You know, not a lot, just off a few seconds off where she would be. But so she ran. Laura Schreier has just been that ace in the hole in that third slot, been the kind of stabilizer. She finished 114th at 2134. Sadie Rosendahl was 130th at 2202. Talia Hursum was 144th at 2250. Harper Grunholz was 154th at 2401. And Morgan Anderson was 155th at 2430. Our two alternates, Alyssa Sawinski and Micaiah Poost, you got to like the way those two kids, they did all the workouts. They came, they supported, they knew they were probably not going to run, but they were there as a team, and I thought they really, really brought a lot of that senior leadership with them to, you know, still enjoy the moment, don't get worked up about it. And that's the thing. Yeah, and that's really was it's fun of these kids. These kids have gelled, really have gotten along. They know when they're out there on the course, they're going to try and make each other better. They're not out there to, oh, I have to beat you, I have to beat you. They're not doing that, and that's the thing is, you really got to like them. That's part of the team effort is, as a team, is how well you can run, how well you can push your teammates. And I thought this basically this nine-man crew that went there, I thought they really, really worked well together throughout the day in preparation, warming up, cooling down, just talking together. It's so important with that, and that's we've been blessed. You know, Jason Conover and my assistant and myself, we've been very blessed with the kids that have done that. And I think we've got a building stone going here with kids being that, and that's the thing is, and we always talk about some of the kids give me a hard time about it, say we or me, and this crew is really, really put together as a we group, and I think our younger kids are seeing that too, and so hopefully that's going to be building up to we start getting these kids develop another level, and that'll help. So scoring wise, tough field on top side.
Yeah.
New Orleans Spicer and St. Cloud Cathedral tied, which is very, very tough to do. But they tied at 97. Then they went to the tiebreaker, which is a sixth runner. And Spicer won it on the sixth. Ola was at 104. So basically 7 points separating the top three spots. So that's a very, very tight field on it. And you got to like the way they competed. Now, I know Kaiser Freetley, one of our former runners, is assisting with Spicer, and he brings a lot of energy. I caught him a couple times on the course, and I talked to him a little bit after the race and told him nice job with the kids, and he was very complimentary. He goes, your girls have changed a lot. From the last time we saw you, he goes, you guys have really, really grown. It's great to see that. And he was very complimentary of our kids and how we've gone from a team that was finishing 10th at some of these big ones to now to get this big dance run. So he was good in that. But then Redwood was our represent. They were 147. They were in fourth. Barnesville 176. Lakeville 199. Lake City 199. Trinity at 201. United at 207. Providence Academy 225. Greenway Coleraine was 230. Wadena Deer Creek at 231. Northwest at 252. Rochester 304. We were at 314. Finished fourth. Crosby-Arrington 324, and then Mountain Lake was at 366. So you really got to like the way we competed down there, represented our section very well. I thought we did that. We weren't a top 10 team, but you still like the way we still went down and competed and did a really good job with it. And the same thing, we got done with the run. We went out for lunch afterwards, which was good. All the kids got together, all the families got together and just sat, and the kids all kind of sat there and talked and just you like that, and that's what we have. Because every year we've gone down the state, we come back, we always stop together as a group. Just, it doesn't matter if individual or team, we just have lunch somewhere, and that's fun just to have them all to get together, talk, and talk about other things but running. I mean, just talk about what's going on, what you see, and just being a kid, not being I'm a runner. And that's the fun part, and that's what you enjoy about that, and they have that. So, very good state tournament for us. Weather was cold. It's probably the coldest we've ran, and I think it was about 40 degrees at start of race at 11 o'clock for us. So you could feel that.
We
were a second race because boys ran right in front of us, and then we were the first session to go on it. The first session, the boys started at 10. We were at 10:45, excuse me. And it was cool, but at least there wasn't really a brisk wind with it. So that was, and again, that's nice. And the kids, handled themselves, prepared themselves. I know two of them for sure threw gloves and arm tights at us. They caught me on the course, or they caught someone. They threw it at them and took them off, because that means you're warming up. So they were getting too warm. So, again, they handled the cold conditions, the course, too. So, again, just a great finish to the season for this girls team, and hopefully they've enjoyed it, and hopefully they have a great memory for the future. And maybe they'll give them a little bit of a burn for next year. Do we want to get better as a crew? And that'll be the question. I think we've got talent coming back there. Basically, our top six return. We've also got some talented young kids. I think some junior high kids that didn't do a lot early in the season, but by the time they got to the end of the season, we're running really well and we'll be very competitive. So if they put a little work in this summer, when we get that far, I think we'll be another force to work with again next year.
How about the other teams in the section? Are they a lot of senior dominated, or
I think there's some mix. I think they maybe lose one, but they still get majority. So, again, the Laverne team, we were three ahead. I think they maybe don't lose anybody, lose one. Redwood, they maybe lose one or none. It's how you do it. And, again, I know Redwood's always, in these schools, always you pick up some newbie you didn't expect, and that's what you look at, too. So they'll be very competitive, and who knows? I mean, you know, we always talk about survival of the fittest. You know, it's you've got to stay healthy. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. Again, because some of these kids, you know, I'm very conservative on injuries. If we got some soreness, they're not running. Unless it's a, you know, section meets conference meet, different story. But again, if we can survive and get ready for it, and you know, and that's key. I mean, that's what you can do. So it'll be very tough. I know Bryn improved her individual placing because Bryn was 11th individually out of the section. I think she was third of the kids. Other kids from the section went to state. She was third overall, so she really, really had a better race than what she ran at section. So you got to like the way she bounced back and had that. So, like I said, it was fun. And you know, on the boys' side, I believe Redwood finished third, if I remember right, in the boys. So a good representation there. I think also Wyndham was about eighth, I think, if I remember off the top of my head. So. Just, again, great representation for our section at the state meet. To just, again, we have a juggernaut out of the section and cross, and that's
year
it's good. Yep, yeah. it's we don't have a lot of off years. It's you've got to be good to get out, and that's the fun thing.
I know when we talked earlier, either with myself or Paul Ramo, one nice thing that you do is in the summertime you take them up as pretty much a team of top 20 people or whatever and stay as a team at a resort or something and get to know each other.
Yeah, and that's fun. We do that in Duluth. We go up to Two Harbors, which is okay. Up there, and we got a house up there. We rent up the house for 5 days up there, and just the scenery is so gorgeous up there. I mean, it's just gorgeous of what you see, what you got, and you know, that's the fun part. You get to get some running in, but God, it's beautiful up there. I mean, it's, you know, I'd love to be up there in the fall with the change in the leaves, but it's still some gorgeous country. What you see for animals and what you see for heart. I mean, it's just so. We do that. Again, we don't run it. We run every day, but we run sometimes twice a day or once a day. We just, again, it's just the fun of working. You know, we had, I think, what do we have, 15, 16 kids go up this last year. And it's a good mix of boys and girls and who's available. And that's the other thing is, some aren't available to go just because, again, it's summer, and that's the way it is. But I think that does help a lot. So.
Yeah. So you have a banquet coming up?
Yep. Proposal is the 30th of November. We're going to try that just because with deer hunting going for the next 2 weekends, the sports getting going, Thanksgiving coming in. It turns into a little bit, I don't want to rush it because I want to make sure we get things set prepared. So we're going to look at maybe that November 30th could be at mid-afternoon or could be an evening, whichever we'll find and bounce it off. I threw it out to the parents here the other day just to let them know. So we'll have our banquet set that and then see if we can get one more time together and also recognize our seniors that we talk about how they've been through our careers and everything else.
And how many seniors?
I've got, we've had 6 seniors.
Okay.
So we're not, you know, boys a little bit heavier on the boys, but again, you know, of our 9-man roster section, 3 of them are seniors, but the rest are 9th graders. So you kind of trade with what you got. So yeah. And the girls we've got, you know, again, if you looked at the team that ran at state, you know, we had 7, 8, 9, so we had 3 girls on the team that also ran at state or at state. So, you know, we've got always tough. Like I always give the kids a hard time. You guys are the good ones. You get to leave. I said, we just stay around here and just reload another year. I said, you leave and go on to better, brighter things, and I'm still sitting in here in western Minnesota and just enjoying life, but still, you get to travel. So, but it's fun. But that's part of life. That's the way it is. It's always fun when they come back, and that's why we had kids at the section meet that I haven't seen in a while of alumni. It's or getting reached out to alumni asking how it's going, and that's what we've done over our years with this whole program is has a lot of that communication with our former athletes. And so you hate to lose them, but, again, that's part of life.
Yeah. Well, I know personally you're busy, not only the stuff after school with the deer hunting and stuff like that. You didn't get one this morning.
Nope, didn't see anything. It was very calm. It was cool, but it was quiet out there. There wasn't many shots up by my place, and You know, I had, all I saw really was movement was two coyotes and about seven pheasants. That's all I saw moving. So, I mean, they're there. It's just, yeah, it was probably a cool morning. They decided, I'm going to sleep in.
And you just got done with one sport, and Monday you start another one.
Yeah, Dylan Erickson has, you know, asked me to come back again. I've always told him, I said, I can always retire and move off, and finally he wants me back. And so he'll have me back there. I'll help him whatever he needs me to do with the girls program. Enjoy working with the kids. And, you know, it's, as a coach, you know, when you lose that enjoyment, that's when it's time to leave. Or as like a couple of the girls that asked me about in cross, you know, what's my plans? I said, I enjoy working with you. You're willing to work with me. If you don't listen to me or you don't want, then it's time for him to move on. So, again, it's another season we'll add to it, and we'll just keep going on and hopefully have a very fun one in basketball.
That's right. So,
and I'll do a follow-up next week, too. We'll do a follow-up against that. So I'll do some tape or whatever else. We'll put that together.
Yeah,
so
we'll put it together to wrap up your season. If we play it here on the coach's show before your banquet, we'll have to not mention the special awards. The newspapers will.
Yep.
But certainly you can talk about all of the kids that you had. So that's good. Yep. Anything else then?
No, it's enjoyed that little week break. It was kind of nice. So, but it's fun. So take it when you can.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, John Sherb on cross country for both the boys and the girls. A great job for them. Congratulations. And we'll take this break and be talking volleyball after this.
This week's specials at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson, country-style ribs, just $2 a pound. Bungard's butter, $4.50 a pound. It's deer hunting weekend. Kip is taking whole deer during hunting season. Drop-off hours, 5 to 7 p.m. So stop in, load up, and good luck to all our hunters out there. Stay safe and shoot straight. Shop the Country Butcher in Dawson. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and close Sunday and Monday.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. I'm going to turn our attention now to volleyball. And with me this morning is Amber Lee. So I think we decided that you were going to wrap up your season and give us some final statistics and talk about all the gals, the seniors that donned the uniforms for the last time, and then look ahead to next year. So fire away there, Amber.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yes.
So our season ended up with a 7-19 record. But the numbers really don't tell the whole part of the story. Our roster was really full of younger players and with limited varsity experience. As we focused on growth and development throughout the year, we saw major improvements in skill, the confidence, and teamwork. So I feel like that record doesn't really give our team justice. And we lost a lot of close matches, you know, 25, 27, you know, 26, 24. So girls really came into their own, and really when they started to play together as a team, really could do some great things. Our stats kind of for the season, Peyton Sachs had 177 digs, two set assists, 12 ace serves, Maya Swatsky had 152 digs, 49 kills, 259 set assists, and 35 ace serves. And she also added four blocks. Ashton Shelstead had 308 digs, 9 kills, 43 set assists, 13 ace serves. Marley Ludvigson had 136 digs, 15 kills, 181 set assists, and 11 ace serves. Abby Amlin had 56 digs, 159 kills, 8 set assists, 1 ace serve, and 1 block. Sophie Leah had 8 digs, 10 kills, 2 set assists, and a block. Carson Wittenable had 79 digs, 112 kills, 4 set assists, 1A serve and 2 blocks. Callie Kahn had 42 digs, 185 kills, 1 assist, 11 ace serves, and 17 blocks. Faith Meyer had 11 digs, 41 kills, 4 assists, and 5 blocks. Maya Mortensen had 193 digs, 3 kills, 5 assists, 38 ace serves, no blocks, and she only played the back row. And that kind of rounds out our stats for our players that consistently played.
Okay. And how many seniors on the team?
We had 4 seniors this year. It would be Abby Amlin, Paisley Monroe, Lindsay Ludvigson, and Callie Kahn. And I can just say a little bit about each of those if you want.
Sure.
Okay. Abby was an outside hitter for us. She always had a lot of enthusiasm for the game. I just wish I had a little bit of her energy some days, let me tell you. She excels most when she has one single task to accomplish and sets her mind to it. If she is out there to hit the ball and get a kill, she focuses on that and does really, really well. Through her years in volleyball, she has been asked to play many different positions. I know, like in junior high, she was an outside hitter and then played all the way around. Then in 9th and 10th grade, she started setting for a while there, and then she went to a right side hitter, and we had her play back to an outside this year, but we also put her in as one rotation with a middle hitter. So to say she's well-rounded is an understatement. I think we could put her any place on the court and she would succeed.
Good.
Paisley Monroe, she started the season with a heart monitor on and ended the season in a boot. So Paisley didn't get to see any court time this season, but she stayed very involved through practices and team activities. She continued to work on her skills and maintained a steady presence throughout the year. Then we have Lindsay Ludvigson. Lindsay didn't see as much court time as I would have liked her to. We just got in a lot of tough matches, and yeah. But Lindsay's limited playing time this season, but remained a steady contributor in practice. She worked hard every time she was at practice and always gave it her all. She worked hard to improve her skills and stayed ready when called upon, providing solid effort with focus throughout the season. And our last senior was Callie Kahn. Callie was really a force in the front row and put up a lot of big blocks and led the team in kills this year in blocks. She was really a joy to coach. Throughout the season, she was consistent in the middle blocker-hitter position. Her experience and leadership helped guide the team through challenges, and her positive attitude set a strong example for younger players. So that kind of rounds out our seniors. I got just a little bit on the juniors here, too, and the sophomores, if that's okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Carson Whitnable was also a captain. She played an outside hitter for us all year. This was her first year of consistently playing varsity. Carson's got a big heart, and she leaves it all on the court each time she plays. She showed up for every game and gave it her all every time she stepped on the court. Marley Ludvigson set out of the back row in our 6-2 offense this year. It was her first year also playing substantial varsity sets. Marley stepped into her role this year. She was willing to get on the floor whenever her team needed her to. Her set placement continually improved throughout the season, so I'm expecting big things from her next year, too. Then we have Casey Tweet. Casey is the sweetest girl, and everybody should get to know her because she is seriously a joy. Everyone should strive to be like Casey with her positive attitude and willingness to do whatever it takes to better the team. That's all she wanted was to do what was ever best for the team, and that's what she did. But yeah, she is one girl that everybody should get to know. Brooklyn Olson is our next one. Brooklyn is one of those players that you can ask to do anything, and she will do it with no questions asked. She is one of the hardest workers I know and should be very inspiring to younger players. I know we threw Brooklyn in on the right side, we threw her in on the outside, we threw over her in on the back row. And she never asked any questions. She just went and did it, and she did a great job at it. Then we have JTN Raymond. She is kind of a quiet gal, but her game is big. She played a lot on JV and did a lot of great things there. She's another one of the very versatile players that we could throw any place in the back row. Not so much the front row, but she did a great job in the back row. Then we have Peyton Sack. She played middle back this year. She actually is one of them that came in with some varsity experience, so I expected a lot for her, and she did a great job. And then we move on to our sophomores. So we had Sophie Hewitt. It was her first year playing varsity. She played right side for us. She continues to impress me throughout the season. She was a player that always wanted to do more work if she was struggling on something, and she would stay after, and her dedication to the game was very evident. Her blocking and hitting continually improves throughout the season, and, you know, I'm excited to see where she goes next year, too. Faith Meyer was also played middle opposite of Callie, and this was her first year playing varsity also, and she did a great job. She really got comfortable as the season went on, and the more comfortable she got, the more, I don't want to say better she played, but the more consistent she became. And she was definitely a force at the net by the end of the season. I'm really excited to see her in the future play, too. Then we have Eva Traeger. Eva got thrown into some crucial moments during the season, and she always impressed me. She is a very versatile player who can play all the way around when needed. Eva is also always willing to put in the extra effort. So anytime we needed somebody to do a little extra, it was Eva. And she just, yeah, she was willing to do it, no questions asked. Sadie Zarbuck. Sadie is another very hard worker. She puts in lots and lots of reps, and she tries to improve her swing and her game all the time. So she continues to show up every day when things were not even going her way. You know, I've told Sadie many times that when she gets everything to click, she's going to be unstoppable. She's got one of the fastest arms I've seen. So when she connects, it's going to be hard to stop her. And that kind of rounds out our sophomores. I mean, we can move into our freshmen. Maya Mortensen played middle back opposite of Peyton for us this year. And it was her first year playing varsity. Maya really proved herself throughout the year and earned her spot on the court. She continued to learn and grow throughout the season. And she has one of the prettiest dolphin dives I've seen. So, yeah, like I said about the other ones, too, I'm excited to see where she goes in the future. Maya Swatsky, this year we transitioned Maya from a 5'1 setter last year, who set all the way around the court, to a 6'2 offense this year. So Maya went from setting all the way around to just setting from the back row and became a hitter and a blocker in the front on the right side, which I felt was really great for her. It makes her more of a versatile player and really gets her in all aspects of the game. She was a very vital part of our offense this year. Then we got Lily Fernals. Lily really surprised us throughout this season. She's another one of those versatile players. You could put her anywhere in the front row and she'll succeed. Didn't have her on varsity for very long, but when we got her in the last game, and yeah, she's going to be a force someday. And our last player is Ashton Shelstead. This was Ashton's first year. She's only in eighth grade. And she played the barrel for us. Her knowledge of the game and court awareness is top-notch. I will hands down say that she has the best court awareness and knowledge of the game on the court. She is going to be at eighth grade, already starting varsity. She is going to be a force when she gets a little bit older. And then all we have left is our managers. We're Shayla Meyer and Avery Monroe. Both of them were injured this year, so they couldn't actually play any volleyball on the court. But they took on the role of manager, and they were great helpers at practice and great supporters during the season. So that kind of rounds up the girls and the players and kind of the stats.
Okay. And how about the B squad or the JV team, and I think you had all three C team as well. How did they do this year?
We did. We actually had 52 girls total of 7-12 for volleyball. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. C and B squad, I'm not positive on their records, but I know that C squad was probably right around that 500 mark, and B squad was probably not quite at that 500. Okay. There was a lot of rotating and changing in that B squad. I know, trying to find something that really consistently worked. And a lot of the B squad players played C squad, and some of the C squad played B squad. So there was always a little bit of rotating there, too.
Sure, sure. And, well, I know this was your first year, and I think your assistants, they were also first-year coaches as well.
Yes, they were, and I am so grateful for them. We had Morgan Jager, who did JV, and Morgan Stark, who did C squad. And I leaned on them a lot. There was not one decision that I made all season that I made strictly by myself. Every decision that was made was a group effort. And from choosing the teams to during a game, if somebody was struggling, when to pull them out, who to put in. I mean, everything was talked about amongst us all. And I really like that, because it's not just me saying, oh, is that person, you know what I mean? Is that person struggling, or am I missing something, or something else? And we just collectively talked about everything and made the decision as a coaching staff. So that was really, really nice for me to have this year.
Well, it's good to know that, and it makes them feel good when you communicate with them. And a lot of times maybe you had your mind made up, but you wanted to hear how they looked at the situation. And most of the time it probably came out the same way, but once in a while maybe you took their advice and it worked out. So communication is the name of the game there, for sure.
Yep. Nope, we talked about a 5-1 and we talked about a 6-2, and, you know, we all collectively decided that, you know, having Maya hit out of that right side, and we scored several times on backsetting that to her and having Marley set her up on that offense. We talked about, actually, Morgan Jager came up with Abby Amlin running opposite of Callie, so that our, both our strongest hitters were opposite of each other, and having Abby play that one middle rotation and then going back to outside, which I think really helped splitting Callie and Abby up. So, no, there was a lot of things that we ran by, and things didn't always go my way. We tried many different things. We tried different things in practice, and, yeah, I know, I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. I really appreciate Paul normally talked to you during the week because you were always busy on the weekend, and you will be again this weekend. In fact, we are pre-taping this, and you're going on a long trip for Saturday's events for your daughter.
Yep, she is playing at the University of Wisconsin. So we're headed up, it's about 5 hours, a little less than 5 hours, up to Wisconsin to watch her play on Saturday. And then she actually starts her NCCAA tournament on Monday with a 2:30 game at North Central in the city versus North Central.
Okay, yeah. Well, so you do double duty as well. And
I do.
Tell me a coach that isn't proud of their team. I mean, you compare the first match that you had during the year and then the last one, and if you see improvement, the girls did their job, and you did their job. So
yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, I've talked about this team before, and we have no all-stars on this team. We don't have somebody that's, you know, getting 15 kills a game. We don't have anybody that, you know, we're all just a small team, and when we work all together is when we really shine. So when everybody does their part on the court is when we really played our best volleyball. No, I always go back to the Canby game, 24-26, and that was one of the funnest games we played. And we lost, but the way that they came together on the court and really the fire and energy that they had, it was really fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you work as a team, and unfortunately you lose four top players, but it sounds like you got a bunch of hard workers coming back, and they're actually their high school season is over, but J.O. can help the girls improve too.
Yep, and there are several. We'll have a short J.O. season probably in usually starts in February, March. But I know several other girls are going to be playing club volleyball this year. So I'm excited to hopefully get in a few of their matches, too.
Okay. Well,
I do have their volleyball awards from our. We had our banquet on Monday night, if you want me to go over those.
I sure do. But sometime also talk about the junior high. I think you had a lot of girls out there as well.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go over the team awards quick.
Sure.
We had most improved, and that went to Sophie Leah. Our defensive MVP was Ashton Shelstead. And like I said before, Ashton had 9 kills, 43 set assists, 308 digs, and 13 ace serves. Our offensive MVP was Callie Kahn, and she ended her total volleyball career with 386 kills, 14 set assists, 95 digs, 12 ace serves, and 57 blocks. And then our new one we did this year was a Heart and Soul Award. And this kind of was who left it all on the court every time, who just loved the game of volleyball, leads by example both on and off the court. And that went to Abby Amland. So, and Abby ended her volleyball career with 286 kills, 211 set assists, 239 digs, 35 ace serves, and 11 blocks. So those were our four team awards that we did, and those team awards were voted on by the players. The coaches didn't have any input. We just gave them a sheet that said most improved, write a name, defensive MVP, you know, and they filled them out, and these are what the team has chosen.
Right, right. Well, good for you, and just really is the first time that I've gotten to interview you about it, but surely feel the vibrations from you as far as reason.
Yeah, it was good. I learned a lot. I learned a lot, you know. And, you know, people question some of the stuff I did, too. And, you know, it's the name of the game. So it is what it is, you know. Everybody has different aspects and looks at things differently. And those are the decisions we made as a coaching staff. So.
Right. And hopefully you'll do it again.
Yes, maybe. It's definitely on the table.
Well,
so we'll see.
Yeah, as long as everybody can agree that you're also busy on the weekends because of your daughter playing college volleyball as well.
So yes.
I'm going throughout the communities in that, and I've never heard a bad word about the job the coaching staff is doing. They're working hard with the girls, and I think the girls enjoyed the working with you three coaches as well. So,
well, sure. I'm glad to hear that.
It's a win-win situation. So, anything else?
You said about the junior high. I know that the eighth grade. I know that they had a very positive season. They had about 8 to 10 girls on each squad. Kelsey Lund coached the 7th grade, and Sydney Clark coached the 8th grade. Mm-hmm. And I believe that both of their records were in the winning column. So I'm excited for the 8th graders to move up to that C squad next year and, you know, keep growing their games.
Yeah, that's right. And they had very qualified coaches as well. So, yeah.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for the interview this week, wrapping up your season, and good luck today and Monday for your daughter, and hope to be talking with you along about volleyball next year as well.
That sounds great. Thank you, Dick.
Yes, you're welcome. That's Amber Lee on volleyball. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, November 7th through Monday, November 10th in Theater Number 1. It's Soul on Fire, based on a true story, Soul on Fire, rated PG. And in Theater Number 2 opening nationwide, Predator Badlands, rated PG-13. That's Predator Badlands in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
And in honor of Veterans Day, which is Tuesday, Monday night at the Grand, all veterans will get in free. Just tell them at the box office you're a veteran, you'll get in free. Monday night at the Grand in Madison.
Back here at the studio, that pretty much concludes the Culture Show. We will have a wrap-up of Cross Country sometime in the near future, and then start introducing their teams. Looking at the next week's schedule, 7th and 8th grade boys basketball starts on Monday. All the girls basketball also starts on Monday with the 7th and 8th grade girls. The JV and the varsity start on Monday. So if you're going to go out for girls basketball in grade 7 through 12, you got to have all your paperwork done and fees to be paid and things like that. Also, next Saturday, a week from today, there'll be a scrimmage up in Barrett at West Central High School. A number of schools up there for both the varsity and the junior varsity. The next broadcast of sports will be on next Saturday when Mineota plays with Noman. Both teams are 11-0. Mineota, of course, beat Lester Prairie yesterday afternoon, 42-6, and Manoman won as well. So that'll be at U.S. Bank Stadium at 9 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully Paul Remo can be off the disabled list and broadcast that next Saturday morning. Speaking of playoffs, my wife and I are going up to Cold Spring to watch Annandale play. They're playing Litchfield at 7 o'clock tonight. Both two sons for Steve and Natalie Newman. Jack is a junior, and Luke quite a bit in action. And Luke had a good JV season and dresses for the varsity, and I think he gets in most of the games, too, so that's kind of fun to watch the grandkids play. It's going to be a little chilly up there, but you got to go watch those kids play. So let's see. That about wraps it up. I'll go through three Dick Newman Six Jokes of the Week.
All right.
What do you call an angry bow and arrow? Well, whoa, it's a crossbow.
Ooh.
My one of my aunts gave birth to her son in the car on the way to the hospital. They named him Carson. And when I die, make sure that there are fireworks at my funeral. I want to go out with a bang. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
A check at the time shows it's 9:53.
Stay with us all day for your favorite songs.
The best oldies on
Q92.
See why you think you belong to me. I never
tried to make you think or let you see one thing for yourself. But now you're off with someone else and I'm alone. See, I thought that I might